Folks, 4D11. Amen. Hallelujah. 4D11. Who remembers 4D11? It's only been a week since we were looking at this last. Hallelujah. Remember God's heart towards us is not only to know who that we are, not only to know our new identity in Christ, but also for that to be balanced with the revelation of who Christ is in us. In fact, it's virtually impossible to walk in the reality of our new identity in Christ unless we fully understand who Christ is in us, because he's the one who gives us the power, who enables us to live in our new identity.
Right.
Amen. Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And you're glad you don't have to do all this religious stuff all on your own? And you're glad it's not just all religious stuff anyhow? Amen. Hallelujah. God never asks us to do anything that he doesn't give us the power and the ability to do it.
Right.
He never expects us to. No, Jesus said this. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, God the Son, manifested in the flesh, said, of myself, I can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. But he didn't go around doing nothing, did he? Amen. It says in Acts 10:38, it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and bringing healing to all who were oppressed by the devil. So although he said, of myself, I can do nothing, he certainly never spent a day doing nothing. Everywhere he went, he was doing good and bringing healing to all who were oppressed of the devil. And God's heart is that we live that same life. Amen. We've been looking at in Ephesians, you know, where it talks about where Paul says, I'm praying for the church, that you will get a revelation of the length and the breadth and the depth and also the height of God's love. 3D is length, depth, breadth and depth. You know that, don't you? Uh-huh. Amen. But God is an extra dimension. And it's in this fourth dimension of spirit that we really get to do the God stuff. You know what I'm saying? Get to understand the God stuff. Get to partner with him. Because he's the one who does it. Amen? Only God can do the God stuff. But we get to partner with him. And he wants to do it in us and through us. It says that at the end of Ephesians chapter 3. It says that it's according to the power that works in us. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that works in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The expectation to see the manifestation of God's glory. Not just some days, but every day. Not just some of the time, but all the time. Not under some circumstances, but over all circumstances. Hallelujah. Let's get that right. We're not under the circumstances anymore. Not when we know who we are and we know who he is in us. We're no longer under the circumstances. We're over the circumstances. Amen. It takes a while to learn some of that stuff. It takes a while for us to just get convinced about some of these things, doesn't it? None of us are there yet. None of us have become Jesus in the flesh, you know what I'm saying? But God's heart is that we become conformed to his image, that we become just like him. That when we show up somewhere, it's just like Jesus showing up somewhere. Amen. Jesus said, the same Holy Spirit that was in me, the same Holy Spirit that was upon me will be in you and on you. Hallelujah. Not just with you, but in you and upon you. Glory to God. So he said, the same works that I do, you will do also. And greater works. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus wasn't insecure?
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed insecure people? You know, they see someone coming up behind them who's starting to threaten them a little bit. They have to slap them down. Well, Jesus said, listen to what Jesus said. He said, greater works than these you will do. Yeah. Amen. Isn't that awesome? The true discipleship is raising people up, not to become like you, but to go beyond you.
Right.
True mentoring is not about raising people up to be like you, but to go beyond where you have been.
Right.
Amen. That's the heart of God. Hallelujah. Jesus was only here on the earth for a short time. Some of us have been here a lot longer than that already. Some of us have been born again for a long time. And really, it's time for us to unwrap just what that's all about. And to start to flow in that. No pressure. Amen. It's easy. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Amen. Some people are carrying the burden of the whole world on themselves. God never asked us to do that. He just asks us to flow with that, his anointing, to go the places he tells us to go, to speak to the people he tells us to speak to speak the words that he gets us to speak to these people. And truth will always set people
free.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's first base stuff. Amen. Glory to God. Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, and the hope of glory, dwells in some of these super Christians. No, dwells in our hearts by faith. We just have to simply believe that. That Christ, the power of God, that means that all of the power of God is available to you.
Yes.
And to me, whenever we need it.
Right.
Is that what it means?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the wisdom of God, all of the wisdom of God is available to you and to me when we need it. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Some people don't ask because they don't think it's available to them. Every year the government publishes figures, I assume they still do this, they publish figures of all of the benefits that have not been collected by people. Benefits that they were due, that were available to them. I know that they make it kind of hard for you to get them anyway. But God's government doesn't work that way.
Right.
Amen. I said God's government doesn't work that way. He has made all of heaven's resources available to us when we need it. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God and the glory of God dwells in our hearts by faith. I just simply have to believe that. Faith that is energized, faith that becomes effective by hearing the word of his power. According to Romans chapter 10. Amen. But it's the word of his love. You see, this extra dimension of God's love, this dimension of height, this is where we really begin to go to the places that God designed us to go in the Spirit. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And most of the folks, everything Jesus said at that point, because none of them were born again, it was going in one ear and out the other. They were just missing it big time. But when you're born again and you're born of the Spirit, something that was dead on the inside of you comes alive. The spirit part of you comes alive. The part that died when Adam sinned comes alive. People say, what's that like? Well, you'll never know what it's like until you're born again. Nicodemus, who was a teacher, who was a religious teacher in Israel, is intrigued by Jesus. He knows that he's got something. Like I said last week, I can't remember if I say it in the morning or in the evening, I can't remember, but I said, the greatest compliment that anyone can ever pay you is to come to you and say, I need what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
I want what you have.
Yeah.
I want it. See, what we have should be so out there, so radically changing our lives and transforming our lives and our words and our attitudes and everything else that people should be banging our door down saying, I want what you've got. Nicodemus comes to Jesus. He's a wee bit scared. He's a wee bit afraid. So he comes at night. But he comes and he says, what is it? Come on. And Jesus says to him, well, unless you're born again, you'll never understand this. He says, what do you mean born again? How can I go back out of my mother's womb and be born again? He said, no, you see, you need to understand this. We're talking about spirit here. We're not talking about the natural. Yeah, until you get hold of this, you'll never be able to enter in. You'll never be able to understand. You'll never be able to experience everything that God has for you, everything that you were created for. Jesus says to him, are you a teacher in Israel and you don't understand these things? The Holy Spirit is the one who brings the life. The Holy Spirit is our connection with God. In Corinthians, it says that he has joined to the Lord, has become one spirit with him. I mean, stuff like that, you can just say that, you know, you just quote it and you can just throw it out there and then just let it fly. Or you can actually begin to take that, hold of that, and draw it into yourself, begin to think about it and meditate on it, and begin to release the power that's in that statement. He that is joined to the Lord has become one spirit. With another, I was talking to a lady recently, and I realized, I could tell she's born again. You know, you got a witness in your spirit when folks are born again, you know? And I said something about, you know, about people becoming excited about Jesus. And it was like this. I saw this veil, as if, I'd never heard the like of it being excited about Jesus. You know, it was almost like that was an alien concept. And you can tell this is someone who loves God, someone who is, as far as they're aware, pursuing God's will for their lives, And yet it was, I could sense it. I could tell immediately, boom, I've hit the wall here. I've hit the barrier here, because getting excited about Jesus, as I said, it was like an alien concept. Mm-hmm. And yet excitement is what attracts people. People will be attracted to you when they discover you're excited about something. But there's something that actually lights your fire,
yeah.
Pushes your buttons. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Faith that is energized and becomes effective by hearing the word of his power, the word of his love. I can't get enough of hearing how much he loves us. Amen. Now, you can choose to go on the street corner and lambast people with a King James Bible and tell them they're all going to hell, which is true if they don't get born again. Or you can actually get out there and start communicating with people and tell them just how much God loves them.
Yes.
Remember what he said as many years ago, if you can't reach them with love, then don't try anything else.
Right.
I've only got one message for people out there this morning, or this evening, or any other time. Whatever. What time is it today? Is it morning? No. Still morning? Just about half afternoon. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that's God loves you. God loves you. God loves you so much that he sees, and you don't have to mention words, you don't have to be around the bush, he sees what you're struggling with, he sees the mess that you've made of the struggles that you're in, and he's done something to help you.
Yeah, that's right.
But he knows he can't just come in and clean up your mess, he knows that something at the very foundation of your life needs to change. And it's made it possible for you to be born again, to have a brand new start. It's not a second chance, it's a brand
right.
new start. And it's not a second chance at the life that you've tried to live before. It's a brand new start and a brand new life with a brand new way of living.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with the old. The old is completely gone with all of its stuff. And all of its way of dealing with stuff and all of its ways of doing things is gone. Gone, 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 gone. And there's a whole brand new way of doing things. And it's not even you that it's dependent upon. It's not your strength. It's not your ability. It's not your intellect. It's not your natural gifting or talents. No, it's all of him. Hallelujah. He says, I will give you another comfort, another helper. And he will not just be with you, but he will be in you. And it will be like having Jesus with you all the time. And that's actually what he's doing, is he's conforming you all the time. He's changing you to become like Jesus. Faith also, as I said last time, that is strengthened and built up by praying in the Spirit. He didn't even leave us to try and deal with this in our own natural language. Or you might be able to speak 4 languages, 5 languages, 6 languages. Some of us in here this morning are bilingual because we have English and Gaelic, but some of you might have more languages than that. But no, he didn't even leave us to try and deal with this in our natural language. He gave us a language of the Spirit. No wonder the devil hates that so much. No wonder he tries to steal that from the church. Because it's one of the most powerful ways he has equipped us. So that when English or whatever your natural language is, runs, I used to ask my mother, "What do you think in Gaelic or English?" You know, she said, "Well, I usually think in Gaelic, but I speak in English most of the time." He's given us a language of the Spirit. The first thing that came upon the church, the first thing that God gifted and blessed the church with when it was first born, was that gift of praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah, because it opens up a whole new dimension. Paul said he will help you to pray. When you don't know what to pray for like you should, he will come and he will pray through you.
Yes.
We were away in the summertime there. I was remembering this morning. We were away in the summer there, and just at the end of our holiday, we were some time with Matt and Ruth and the kids down there, and then we went for a few days at the end of that to Musselburgh, to a hotel in Musselburgh, and we left from there to go up to Elgin for a couple of days and blah blah, and entertained before we came home. When we left Musselburgh, we'd arranged to meet Walter and Eastville. Most of you know Walter. Sorry, you know Walter and Eastville. You know, they've been good friends of ours and great friends of this church from the beginning, pretty much. And so we'd arranged to meet them down there in the Clyde Valley and in a coffee shop, garden centre, hundreds of them there. so we'd arranged to meet them there. But as we're driving along, you know. And I began to realise, I feel a bit flat. What's going on here? You know what I'm saying? And then it struck me as I thought about it, why do I feel a bit sort of deflated? And I realised I hadn't prayed in tongues that day. I'd read the scripture and I prayed, but I hadn't prayed in tongues. And as soon as in the car there, Katrina's beside me, and I just started to pray in the spirit, and boom, all of a sudden, whoa, I'm lifted up. The height of his love. He begins to lift you up out of that place of deflation and flatness. And I can understand, why do I feel like this? And I was leaving, you know, some of the family behind. That's always a bit, you know. But that was, you know, that's at soul level. But here I was. And as soon as I began to pray in the spirit, whoa. Awesome. I believe even Katrina felt the atmosphere in the car change. Go bash, come on. Hallelujah, look out, overtaken, hey! Out of the slow lane. Sticking with the speed limit, you understand, but you know, maximizing your potential. Just incredible. It's as supernatural as that, and it's as easy as that, and as simple as that. In Jude 20, it says, you beloved, building yourselves up. Edifying yourself, building yourselves up. Oh, well, here we go. It's about me building myself up. No, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You just have to lock in the Spirit, and boom, all of a sudden, it's automatic.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be charismatic, it's another thing to be automatic. You need to be an automatic charismatic. Amen. I know. It says praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the fourth dimension. Keep yourself in the revelation of the height of his love, that he never wants you one day. Maybe it was because we're going to Clyde Valley, I don't know. But I didn't go to Clyde Valley that day, I went to the Clyde mountaintop, hallelujah. I might have been in the valley of the natural, but I was on the mountaintop in the spirit, glory to God, hallelujah. And just at that point, the heavens opened and rain, like, you know, just incredible rain just begins to pour, puddles splashing everywhere. Hallelujah. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always looking for his mercy. Always looking, always expecting to see the manifestation of his mercy. What's mercy? It's when you don't get what you do deserve. And then he tops that off with grace, which is when you get what you don't deserve. Because sometimes we feel a bit flat, we feel a bit deflated, and we think, well, that's probably because I did this or I did that, or, oh, I blew it again yesterday, and I said something I shouldn't have said, and I did something I shouldn't have done. And so we just accept that as a result of our own actions. It's what we deserve. Well, that's why we need mercy. That's when we don't get what we deserve. Try to catch that right. I know you'll all keep me right, I can tell by your faces. Give yourself a tickle or something, come on, it's going to be. Hallelujah. No, we come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, I mean, I'm on a... Where is it? It's in the spirit. Hallelujah. In the natural, you probably couldn't even compute how far away it is. But in the spirit, it's right there. It's right there. That's what we need to understand. The spirit, you're right there. It's not about trying to beat down the door, trying to climb all these stairs to get there. It's not about, oh God, no, you're right there. And it says we can come boldly into the very throne room of God that we might obtain mercy. What's mercy? Not getting what you deserve. And find grace to help. What's that? That's getting what you don't deserve. To help. All of the help is supernatural help. Amen. We came, I might preach this message here one day, but when we were going to Tain on the way back, after we went to Elgin for a couple of days, we went to Tain and we were there on the Sunday. And the message the Lord gave me was about help. In fact, I titled it Help. Because even the Beatles had it. You know what I'm saying? Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Help, I need somebody. Help. See, when you need help, you don't need someone who's down where you are. If you're on the ground, you don't need someone else on the ground beside you. They can't help you. Oh, you can roll around in the mud together. That's called self-help. We try and bring people in to try and help them, and we put them in a self-help group, and they've all got the same problem. They can't help each other. Well, they can sympathise, they can empathise, but they can't help each other. They need someone to come and say, I'm not down there anymore. I've come to help you. And lift them up. Help me get my feet back on the ground. I said to the folks out that Sunday, I said, did you come here today looking for help? Do you come to this church because you know there's always people here who will help you? I said, well, if that's your answer, it shouldn't be your answer. If your answer is yes to that, it shouldn't be your answer. A lot of people think the church is there to help everybody. It's not. The church is there to bring glory to God. I said, if I tell you that you should keep coming every week because there's people here who will help you, then I said, I'd be giving you the wrong message. I'd be bringing you something and bringing you something and claiming that it's better than what Jesus would offered you. I'm just like, the heretic just showed up, you know. I said, because Jesus said, I will give you another helper. I want to help you, all right, but I want to help you into a relationship with the helper.
Yes.
If I hold back from you the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that the message that Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will help you with every part of your life. Move you from the natural to the supernatural. Move you from dealing with stuff down there on the ground to a new dimension. Hallelujah. I was sharing with my colleague the other day as we were driving along and the lorry. It just came back to my mind. I can't remember what we were talking about, but I said, I'll tell you one time. I said, when we were going to renovate the house that we're in now, I said we were self-employed and we took our accounts to the bank. Long there was Cromwell Street, Bank of Scotland. We walked in with our accounts, and of course, he's not interested in your turnover. He's not interested in how much your sales are, even if it looks quite good. He goes right to the back page. Because if your sales are less than your overheads, then you're in bad shape. And he went right to the back page, and this is what he said. He said, you will never get a mortgage with these accounts. And before the echo of that had left the room, he picked up his phone, and I heard him say, we were sitting there, he said, could you please send someone through to witness this mortgage? We didn't say a word. We walked out of that place. We waited till we were back in the car before we went, what happened there? He said, you will never, he didn't just say, I might have a problem here, no, he said, you will never get a mortgage with these accounts. And he picked up the phone, and the same, before he'd even taken another breath, and said, please send someone through here to witness this mortgage, the sign of this mortgage, please. That's God. That's God. I said, that's God. I said, that's our Father. Never mind God, that's our Father in heaven looking after us.
Right.
Amen? I said, that's what he does. That's the kind of stuff that he does. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. When you begin to understand that we're not here to do this in the natural from our own resources, but we're here. We've got a daddy who pays for everything. You already paid for everything. When Jesus went on the cross, every debt was settled. Every spiritual debt, every financial debt, every debt was, come on, covered. In fact, it says in Philippians, it says, he removed the certificate of debt that was against us, nailing it to the cross. That's pretty powerful language. Is that not pretty powerful language?
Yeah.
He removed it completely, nailed it to the cross, and he declared paid. When he said it is finished, he was saying paid in full.
Yeah.
Completely, complete, perfectly perfect. Everything is covered. Every base is covered. There's no room in your life anymore for any kind of lack. No room in your life anymore for any kind of sickness. I know that upsets people. It's good news.
Right.
I don't know if I can believe that. Well, just have a go. Give it a try. You'll discover it's real.
Yeah.
Religion has just made such a mess of it all. You know what I'm talking about religion in the sense of James 1:27 says there's pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. But you know what it says? To visit the widow and the fatherless in their affliction. I mean, that's opposite to how the big shots want to have it. The ones who want to make a big name for themselves. The ones who want to who build massive, massive ministries where you don't ever see a widow or a fatherless person anymore. You certainly won't touch one. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. See, you start at the bottom. That's why I said that the safest place is the lowest place. Jesus said that. It can be pretty embarrassing if you come round the front row and then someone says, excuse me, but that's reserved for someone else. Oh, terribly sorry. Oops-a-daisy. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm not saying that's a good thing anyway. But he said it's far better to take the back row and then have someone come forward. I love the back row myself, personally. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. The safest place is always the lowest place. I think I said it last Sunday night at the end of the message last Sunday night. The reason that God wants to start a fire at the base level is because fire always goes up.
Yeah.
You see a building, a 12-story building, and a 15-story building, and the fire starts at 8th floor, it goes up. And it's like the rest of the building looks as if it hasn't even been on fire. So when God's going to light a fire, he isn't going to light it at the top. Oh, come on, somebody.
Right.
He's not going to light it in the middle. He's going to light it at the bottom. So the safe place. If you want the fire of God to hit you, well, the safest place is to be the lowest place. Because you ain't got nothing anyway, sweetheart. Bless your heart, as they say. And I ain't got nothing. He's got everything. And the best chance I've got of meeting him. When Jesus was on this earth, the best chance you had of meeting him was hanging out with the sinners. The least chance you had of meeting him was hanging out with the religious big shots. Is that true or is that true? So the best chance you have of meeting with him in some particular special way is to take the lowest place. Hallelujah. Because he's always going to start there. Why? Because he knows how it works. He knows if you start in the lowest place, it'll travel up. The height of his love, a revelation of the height of his love. I just want to get up there. No. It starts down here and then he takes you up. Hallelujah. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you in due season. When's due season? I don't know. I just know he said he'd do it. Hallelujah. Amen. He said he would do it. I will exalt you. Don't ever try and exalt yourself. Don't ever try. You know how sometimes someone gets up there, even in church it can happen, someone gets up there and it feels, what they're saying is it's true, it's the truth, but it feels empty.
Yeah.
Hope you're not experiencing that this morning, baby. You know what I'm saying? It falls on the ground. And you think, the reason for that is because they're just trying to present themselves as being something and knowing something and having something. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, 4 o'clock this morning, I thought, Lord, I'm a fraud. I don't know if I even got up there tomorrow morning. This morning. Where did that thought come from? Probably from myself. And they're probably true. By the time I woke up again at 6:30, I thought, hallelujah, let's do this. Why? Because I don't have it. I haven't got anything. I was going on my knees in there for about 20 seconds before I come through. I say, okay, it's all yours. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. Please manifest some of that glory in our midst this morning, in the midst of your people. What more can you ask for? Right, let's go do this. Amen. Then you get a few songs later, glory to God, hallelujah. And come on, because worship does something, doesn't it? And you begin to lift him up. He lifts you up with him.
That's
right,
amen.
Amen. He lifts you up with him. He seats you. You begin to realize you really are seated with him in the heavenly places. That there really is your address. That that really actually is where you live now. Hallelujah. In the spirit. Amen. Just like driving it from muscle, but I'm feeling flat. And all of a sudden, kobash, but you're up there again. Hallelujah. Remember what that fellow wrote, that non-Christian guy wrote in his, on his website, on his internet site? He's done his doctoral thesis on the fourth dimension or something, I don't know. But this is what he wrote: a 4D being would be a God to us. It would see everything in our world. It could effortlessly remove things before your very eyes, giving you the impression that the object simply disappeared. Listen, this is a non-Christian, and yet he's got understanding. Jesus said sometimes the people of this world are smarter than the people of the church. Come on. The 4D being could also see inside any 3D object or life form, and if necessary, remove anything from the inside. You know, a lot of people's problem is they want a God that's like them. Come on. People want a God that's like them, but he wants a people that's like him. And if you continue in your life and in your Christian life thinking that God is supposed to be like you, you're going to hit a place where you're going no further. But if you recognize that he is nothing like you, but he has made it possible for you to be like him, you're back on track again. You're about to hit the heights. The 4D being could also see inside any 3D object or life form. See, a lot of people think, I'm working hard these days. When I say working hard, I'm working hard in the spirit. It's really quite effortless, to be honest. But you all you have to do is get past your own self stuff, you know. You know, anything you attach self to is just negative, you know. People are obsessed with self now, aren't they, you know? Self-esteem, self-this, self-that, self-baloney. That's what that is. Jesus said, there's one thing you do with self. You deny self. Just deny it. That means self's gone. Self-consciousness. You know what I mean? Shyness. All of that mess. That will stop you from flowing and allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you. I was saying this morning. You know, Scripture says there's no fear in love. Well, this is obviously talking, because I know people who love someone, but they're afraid that they might not love them back. So it's not talking about that kind of love. I mean, in the Bible, there's five different types of love. He's talking about the God kind of love. There's no fear in that love. Amen? Come on. A lot of people who've been hurt are afraid to love again, aren't they? In the natural. That's why we need this other dimension of love. There's no fear in the God kind of love. There's no fear there whatsoever. And I've discovered as I'm going around and speaking to people and trying to get people to understand that God loves them so much that when they have physical ailments or sicknesses, he actually wants to heal them. And you just hit this wall of resistance, whether they're Christians or non-Christians. It's like, whoa. It's like, it's incredible. I think, hang on a minute, this is good news. I'm trying to tell you quite simply that God actually can help you. He can heal you. He's already made provision for you to be healed. And it's like, No. Why? Because they think about God being like them. They think God has the same limitations that they have. Either that or they think of God being so far out there that he wouldn't be interested in them. Maybe that's because they wouldn't be interested in them. A 4D being could also see inside any 3D object or life form, and if necessary, remove anything from inside. The being could look inside our intestines or remove a tumour from our brain without ever cutting the skin. This is a non-Christian guy writing his doctoral thesis, and that's what he had concluded. And he's talking about our Father in Heaven. That's exactly who he is. That's exactly what he can do. That's exactly what he does for those who simply believe that he is able to do what he says he can do. And now we have this 4D being living on the inside of us, Christ in us, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the hope of glory, and he has come to release his power and his wisdom to us and lift us up into the place, not of 3D existence, but of 4D living. I mean, even like the spiritual gifts, you know. When's the last time that we read through the, you know, we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, you know, and then we have, let's have a Bible study on the gifts of the Spirit, you know. Come on, and let's turn them into something, you know, intellectual, and so we can understand them and blah 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 blah. What are they all about? I'll tell you what they're all about. They're about releasing 4D information. Information that you could not have naturally. 4D wisdom, wisdom that you could not have naturally. And 4D power, power that you would never have naturally, into the 3D world that we live in. That's what they're all about.
That's right.
They're about bringing heaven into the earth. Pray this way, Jesus said. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. 4D information. I remember when I first heard that Ruth had a boyfriend. He's sitting at the back here, isn't it? I did not know she had a boyfriend, and I did not know that the boyfriend that I didn't know about had a morbid. Just as well, probably. The first I heard that she had a boyfriend who had a motorbike was when I got a phone call. Except it wasn't the first I heard. I heard the details, but that morning I heard from my Father in heaven who said, pray for Ruth, particularly, especially this morning. You pray for your kids all the time. Pray for Ruth. Pray for Ruth. Didn't know about the boyfriend. Didn't know about the motorbike. Didn't know that Ruth was going to go probably for her first spin on that motorbike that afternoon. I get a phone call from Katrina's sister, Joan, in Elgin, where Ruth was staying at the time, to say that Ruth's in hospital because she'd got on the back of her boyfriend's motorbike and they'd had a collision. And it was a pretty serious collision. And of course, it's like, don't panic, don't worry, blah, blah, blah. She's in hospital, Matt's in hospital. What boyfriend, you know, what motorbike? First time I met Matt, he was in hospital with a broken leg. Hallelujah. But you see, the God who knew, who knows, who doesn't live in the 3D, who doesn't live in even the dimension of time, but he's the high and lofty one, the Bible says, who inhabits eternity, knew exactly what was going to happen that day. And he already had it covered.
Yeah.
I said he already had it covered because they had a miraculous, I know you'll deny this, but a miraculous escape. And I want to tell you, it was nothing to do with Matt's driving skill. I mean, he's a good driver. I'm sure he still rides his motorbike, and I'm sure he's a wonderful motorcyclist and all that sort of stuff. But it was nothing to do with his skill or his ability or anything else. It was everything to do with our Father in heaven, who actually sends angelic assistance. I believe that an angel got a hold of him and got a hold of Ruth and carried them and pretty much laid them down, laid Matt down with a bigger bump than Ruth. Because I don't know about you, but I watch the news occasionally, I read the newspaper occasionally, and I see motorcyclist after motorcyclist after motorcyclist after motorcyclist after motorcyclist. Not ending so well for them. And I know that I know that I know that my Father in heaven, who has 4D information, who has 4D wisdom, who has 4D power available to us. And all we have to do is, he says, if you hear his voice, do not hurt. He's speaking. I remember, I don't know if I'll just finish with this, but I remember just after the Twin Towers. And I mean, who remembers where they were when they first saw the, you know, the plane going, hitting the towers? Well, I remember I was at my mother's house there in Morrison Avenue, and I was upstairs working on my brother's computer, and my mother called me down, and my brother was, come and see this. And I was going to be driving a bus with the bracelet school kids back to from the swimming pool. And it was like, oh, this is, what's happening, you know? But anyway, but I remember about a few days after that, maybe a week after that, going to a conference over in Belfast. And there was American speakers, and they were bringing testimonies of people from the Twin Towers, who not just Christians but also non-Christians, because God is always speaking. He's always speaking, because His will for every one of us is for good and never for evil, always to prosper us, to give us a future and a hope. Amen. Doesn't matter, because He's already made provision for everybody at the cross, whether they pick it up and receive it or not. And I remember that the testimonies began to come forth, that how people had who worked in the Twin Towers, some of them didn't even know where the voice was coming from, just saying, "Don't go to work today. Don't go to work today." Now, if you work in that kind of environment, it's a really high-powered environment. It's the kind of job you don't say, "I'm not going in today because I've got a wee sniffle or something." You know, it's all about power, it's all about money, it's all about being there, it's all about advancement, it's all about all of that stuff. You know, it's really highly charged. You don't take time off. In fact, you work your holidays a lot of the time to try and push through all of that stuff. But some of them heard that voice saying, "Don't go to work today," and they didn't go. And the office where they would have been and the desk they'd have been sitting on was obliterated. Gone. There was others who were in the Twin Towers, and they heard that the firemen were saying, "Come this way." And they heard a voice saying, "Don't follow them, go this way. Go the other way, the opposite way." And they obeyed the voice and they went the opposite way. And the firemen and all the people that were leading perished, and they walked out. Because God loves us, and He loves every one of us, and He's speaking every day to every one of us, and we need to learn to hear His voice and to obey His voice and to follow His leading, because He always leads us into freedom. He always leads us into life, into a dimension of life that is not possible in the natural. You might look at me today and think, "Oh, what's he talking about? He doesn't look that special." Well, I want to tell you, I'd be a lot worse than this. You probably didn't know me before Jesus, I'll tell you. I probably wouldn't be alive. I certainly wouldn't be standing here this morning. I can guarantee you I probably wouldn't have been alive, pretty much. Why? Because my life was on self-destruct. There's another self word in there. It was on self-destruct. I don't know how many times in my first 20-odd years I came miraculously out of situations. Why? Because someone was praying for me. Just like the Lord spoke to me that morning and said, "Pray for Ruth today." I'll guarantee you none of us know the things that we've avoided and missed. Some of the things we do because we came to them, but we came through them. But there's other things that we avoided and missed because someone was believing for us, standing for us, bringing us before the throne of God. Come on, somebody. But God wants to move us from that place of depending upon other people to that place of walking in that place ourselves. Because that's the life He created us to live, a life of victory, a life of overcoming, a life of walking in another dimension, in the dimension of spirit, where we're no longer bound by the natural stuff. We're no longer negatively impacted and affected by the natural stuff. I know that doesn't sound very religious, it's not supposed to. This is the truth. This is the reality. This is why Jesus came. This is why He went to the cross, to make this possible for us. Amen. I'm not going very far this morning, you understand that, but God... This 4D life, it's living in the power of God's blessing.
That's right.
I'll just throw that in. That's where we're going this morning. But it's living in the power of God's blessing. Jesus became a curse for us. He took all of the manifestations of the curse that were attached to sin and sinful behavior and rebellion and lawlessness and all of that stuff. And He took all of that out of the way so that we could stand, expect nothing but blessing. And yet how many of God's precious children are still living under manifestations of the curse when the curse has no place in their life anymore? That's a pretty tragic scenario, but it's outplayed over and over and over again. And you come to people and you say, well, and you try and do it humbly. I mean, there was a day when I maybe didn't do it so humbly. I might come in there with a, "Come on, wake up," you know. But I think God's helped me with that a bit. Maybe help me be a little bit more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Look in the mirror. I'm starting to look a wee bit more like Him. Amen. and you're still hitting this wall of resistance, not to bad news, but to good news. And I think sometimes, and I'll try to just wind this up, but I think sometimes it's because people have been so programmed. Let me think of disappointment.
Yeah.
They've been so programmed with disappointment. They cannot hear what you're saying because they can't stand another disappointment. Do you know what disappointment means? It means you've missed an appointment. And the appointment that we were created for. Remember way back in the garden? Every day Adam got to walk with the Lord in the cool of the day. He had an appointment. Who knows what I'm talking about? Well, some people say, oh man, I wish I was back there. No, no, no. God never takes you back somewhere. He always takes you forward into something that's better than what's behind you. And God didn't make it possible for us to have another Garden of Eden where we could walk with God in the cool of the day. No, no, no. He made it possible for us to walk with him in another dimension. Amen. In a spiritual dimension that is way beyond what Adam experienced. Hallelujah. And that's what, and so to, if you want free from disappointment, just embrace everything that he's made freely available to each and every one of us at no cost to ourselves personally, but he paid the highest price in order to provide it. When Jesus went to the cross, the highest price that could be paid was paid, and that puts value on you and I. But we're only valuable. See, people think, oh, that's wonderful, well, thank you so much, I knew I was precious and special and all that sort of stuff, but yeah, but you're not worth anything in the world. You're not worth anything living your own life, doing it your way. You only become valuable. You only begin to understand your value when you begin to come and partner with your Father in heaven and allow him to manifest his blessing in you and on you and upon you. That's what God said to Abraham way back when. He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And as a supernatural byproduct of you being blessed, you will become a blessing. In fact, the blessing that's upon you will become a blessing to the whole world. All of the nations will be blessed because you're blessed. Amen. And you and I need to get a hold of that. We were designed and created for blessing. And until we embrace that, until we embrace it like Jesus embraced it, who said, of myself I can do nothing, who cried out in agony of soul, he cried out, not my will, your will. Not my will, your will. And he had to push through something there that none of us will ever have to push through. And he pushed through that so that we could not have to push through that. Amen. So we could just embrace all of the benefits of that. Hallelujah. I'm not saying there's not some times when you've got to crucify your flesh again and just say, no, not my will, your will, but it will never be to the extent that Jesus endured that. Let's stand up together. You ready to be blessed? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's only, and the only gateway into this, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. I was saying this the other day, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. A lot of people kind of stop there, you know, they put it on a tract or something, you know. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You think, well, what does that mean? Well, he finished it off. He said, no one comes to the big bad God wielding a baseball bat who sits on the throne of heaven except through me. No, I didn't say that. He said, no one comes to the Father. I mean, they crucified him for calling God his Father. Yeah. That's the revelation that each and every one of us needs to embrace. He's my Father. He's my Father, not an imperfect Father, not an absentee Father, not a brutal, abusing Father. He's my Father in heaven, my perfect Father. He's much more than I could ever, 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 ever imagine him to be. Not even the best father. And some of us had good fathers. Praise God for them. Thank you for good fathers. Thank you for those who did everything that they could to make life as good as they could for us. But they don't even come close because they're not perfect. But all of a sudden he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. And that's his invitation to every one of us this morning. Come to the Father. Come to the Father. Begin to experience that fourth dimension of his love. that causes us to come into a realm and a dimension of the Spirit, that enables us and equips us to come out of 3D living, 3D existence, into 4D living. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for that opportunity. I thank you for that you've opened this up for us and you've made it so simple and so easy that many of us miss it. I pray, Father, we just embrace the simplicity of your word, the simplicity of your plan and your purpose for us to walk with you in the Spirit. That we might know, Father God, that you have gifted us spiritually with everything that we will ever need, all of the information, all of the wisdom, all of the power. Not just some special people, not just a few people, but all of us. Everything has been made available to all of us. Help us to walk in that place of tuning into your voice, tuning out all of the static of unbelief and philosophies of men and doctrines of devils, and tuning in to the simple truth. My Father loves me. My Father loves me. My Father doesn't just love me, he loves everybody.
Yes.
Thank you for that reality, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.